Well, sometimes it's very difficult to determine why does an entity, a demon, attach itself to some individual? Why is this happening to Phil Siracusa? How can he make it stop? In a moment, Carissa Fleck joins us. She is a paranormal investigator, a well-known psychic medium in her own right, and we will talk with her about this case. Then we'll bring Phil back. And then we'll open up phone lines for you to give you an opportunity to chat with them, too, right here on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. Carissa Fleck is a well-known psychic medium, paranormal investigator. She's a lead investigator on this case, the Horsefly case. She lived in the house with the family for 4 months while investigating, staying in what has been called the portal to hell by various recognized psychics. And here's Carissa on Coast to Coast. Hi, Carissa.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. It's glad to have you here. Why did they call this the Horsefly Chronicles?
Okay, well, whenever something bad is about to happen, there's a horsefly. And, you know, it could be the dead of winter. It could be the dead of winter, and there's a horsefly. I've actually been hit in the face by a horsefly over and over again in my sleep while living on this case.
How strange.
You know, and you can't make this stuff up. It's just crazy.
I hate horseflies.
Yeah, I don't like bugs at all. I'm not a big fan of
them. All right, tell us a little bit more about yourself. How'd you get into this?
Okay, well, I've been able to see and communicate with the dead ever since I can remember. You know, I grew up knowing that I had abilities and knowing that I was a little different. I actually got kicked out of elementary school for talking about the deaths on a school ground that no one besides the staff knew about. And they were convinced that I had overheard.
Uh-huh.
So they took... They called my mom, and, you know, my mom took me to the psychologist under their recommendation. I passed all the screening, and I went back to school. I was made fun of and tormented by my peers. So at the end of the year, my mom decided, you know, let's start over. Let's move an hour away, and let's just give you a new start. And that's when I kind of kept my abilities to myself. You know, I had a normal life. I was popular. I had a lot of friends. I went to a lot of parties. You know, I didn't tell many people about my abilities. They were still there, but I kept them hidden. That all changed when I was going to school for psychology, and I was married, and I had just recently purchased a farmhouse from the 1700s, about an hour away from my hometown. As soon as I purchased that house, I got into a horrible car wreck.
Oh, boy.
I almost died during it, and, you know, I'm lucky to be alive. And I couldn't drive for a couple months, so I had to drop out of school. It was a new university, and the teachers weren't willing to work with me. I found myself alone in this old, big house very often. And, you know, I just start connecting with my abilities again and start really tuning into everything. And that was when I decided, you know, maybe I will link up with the paranormal team. I don't have much going on for me right now, and it would be interesting to explore this. So that's when I linked up with a local paranormal team, Eastern PA Paranormal Society. And I've been on a few cases, and, you know, I had told them that I was sensitive. I wasn't coming forth and being like, I'm a medium, but they knew I was different. And so my team founder would test me, and he would have me go in pretty much blind to cases. And I'll never forget the day I received the phone call about Phil's case. All he told me about the case, William Cook was his name on my team, and all he told me was that I was a man that thought he was haunted. That's all I knew.
Huh.
And honestly, I didn't think anything of it. You know, like, I just got off the phone. I was like, okay. And I went about my day. However, weird things start happening in my house.
In your house, not his, but your house.
Oh, yes, my house. I never spoke to Phil. I never met Phil at this point. I didn't even know who Phil was. I didn't know the client's name or town of this house. I knew nothing other than that I was a man that thought he was haunted. My gas stove start turning on and off. And, you know, like little things, shadows out of the corner of your eyes, footsteps, whispers. I honestly did not still think anything of it. You know, I'm used to being visited by spirits at this point. The only thing I can tell you, which was weird, was that it felt like someone was watching me. And for like the first time in my life, I couldn't quite tell what was watching me. It just felt almost threatening.
Well, you know how sometimes, Carissa, you can feel somebody staring at you. Was it that kind of feeling?
Yes. It was an eyeing up feeling. Like, it was very threatening, but I kept trying to just ignore it. You know, I didn't believe in demonic entities. I just want to throw that out there. I did not believe in demonic entities until this case. And, you know, I kept ignoring it. I rescue animals on the side of the paranormal.
Good for you.
So I have about 5 foster animals, and they start acting really weird in my house. And they start crying or hissing. I have cats and dogs, and I would find them upstairs near the attic, like, acting very distant and weird. And I thought that was kind of strange, too. And I started loading up on everything that I could think of to protect myself, because at this point I knew something semi-negative was in the house. So I load up on holy water, crystals, you name it, I got it. And then the dreams started.
When
I say dreams, I mean nightmares. You know, I remember the first night happened. I woke up with sleep paralysis almost.
Just like Phil was describing. It's a horrible feeling, isn't it?
Yes. Yes, it is. And, you know, I couldn't go back to bed. So the next night, I go to sleep. And I have the same dream almost. Every dream that I had in these 3 weeks leading for me to go to Phil's house, I was getting attacked by an entity. It was a half goat, half man. But it would be in different locations, but it would always be the same entity. And I remember, you know, after a few days, I would be taking 3 Benadryl, and I would only be able to sleep 3 hours. Every night, I was up.
Oh, boy.
It was the craziest thing, and I just remember, like, just feeling at this point that I was in danger. And then the physical attack started. You know, a few days of dealing with the nightmares and the night terrors, whatever you want to call them. I remember I was laying in bed, and I saw a green orb with my eyes. When the green orb got to the center of my ceiling, I was sexually attacked. Now, I'm not going to go into detail, because I still really don't like talking about that. You know, I was.
And again, this is in your house?
Yes. Yes. This was before I ever met the family.
Okay. So at what point do you decide you're going to start investigating Phil's situation?
Okay. Well, you know, I almost didn't go to Phil's house after what had happened to me in my own home, clearly. But I felt that there was a reason why I was being targeted.
Yeah. Carissa, I'm losing you on the phone a little bit. It sounds like you got There you go.
Can you hear me?
Yep, much better.
Okay. I felt there was a reason why I was being targeted and why they were trying to stop me from going. So I decided to go. I'm the kind of person that if you push me, I'll push back. So I went to the house. And, you know, I had an instant connection with Phil and his family. They're wonderful people. And I told them what had happened to me. Not everything, because I didn't want to scare them, but I told them some things.
Mm-hmm.
And their jaws just dropped. Especially when they had it confirmed by the team founder that all I knew that it was a man that thought he was haunted. And it started a friendship. You know, after the first time at their house, I told them, I love you all, but I will help you from afar. I'm never stepping foot back in your home. And then I start noticing that the paranormal world was discrediting the story and not taking it seriously. And I knew that was serious because of what had happened to me. And Phil, you know, me and him were talking. And he asked me, you know, will you mind coming to live here for 4 months and document this case?
That's a huge commitment.
This case. Yes. Yes, it was.
So you go for 4 months.
Yes. I lived in the house for 4 months.
And what happened to you?
Just crazy things. You know, I'll go with everyday occurrences first. Everyday occurrences, shadow figures out of the corner of your eyes. You're laying in bed and you feel something cuddling with you. It sounds really strange, but that was an everyday occurrence. Pacing by your bedroom door, back and forth, constant. You know, cabinets opening and closing, that happened all the time. Footsteps, whispers, you name it, that is an everyday occurrence.
That's enough to drive somebody nuts.
Yeah, you know, it was really extreme and hard. Now, the rare occurrences are still shake me to this day. You know, I would wake up covered in bite marks, bruises, hoof prints, and busted blood vessel one time, and I have pictures of all of them documenting them, and I would wake up with those marks on my body. Those were the rare occurrences. I've seen family members speak Latin with double-toned voices and eyes all black. I've actually been taken over to the point where I don't remember anything, but I was told that I was bashing my head against the patio table so hard my head was going to go through the glass. You know, there was three nights in a row where myself and Phil and one of his sons, all three of us in three different nights, saw a demonic like dog. And the only way I can describe it is its face looked like it had rabies, but its eyes were red. Now, Phil and I did not tell the children what we had saw, for we don't try to scare them. We don't want them to know the details of what we're experiencing to the maximum that we're experiencing.
But did the children experience anything?
Yes. You know, again, I don't really like to talk about that too much on radio for obvious reasons, but, you know, one of the kids saw the dog that we saw and described it in the same detail that Phil and I had seen the previous night, in the third night in a row. You know, other occurrences have happened with the children, but again, this isn't something to talk about on radio just because they're young and, you know, worry about them.
I mean, were they abused by these demons?
No. I mean, you know, they've had occurrences, all the children have. I mean, you know, demonic entities go after your weak points.
And
whatever your weak points are, they'll go after.
How are they now? You know, they've grown up, right?
The kids?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's two older ones that know what the situation and that's going on. And then there's two younger ones where we don't really tell things to. You know, they think I'm their sister, and that's how they think of me as.
But
the older ones are aware of everything.
But I mean, of the how many kids were there? Four, or are there?
Yes.
And how many of them are aware of these demons? Just two of them?
Yes, the older two.
Okay. So the younger two don't know anything about this.
The younger ones ask questions, you know, but you try to shelter them as much as you can.
Why do you think, Carissa, after spending so much time there, and Phil was telling us this apparently has been going on since he was a kid.
Yeah.
Why him? I mean, why have they singled him out? Have you been able to determine why?
He's special, you know. He's a lighthouse in himself, and I do believe that Phil has abilities that he hasn't quite been able to tune into fully. He's an open vessel for them. He also has a mission, a positive mission in this world, and, you know, dark entities tend to attract themselves to people that they feel could do a lot of good for this world.
Were you able to help the family spending time there?
You know, I fully believe that the research that I've done and the help that I've done has helped them in the long run. You know, I'm still very close to the family. I still go over there at least once a week. You know, I will remain close with them, and I will stay with them until this case is closed and after this case is closed. I do believe that my work has helped them at least start bringing in the people that can assist in exorcisms and deliverances. I'm not an exorcist. I'm not a demonologist. I would never classify myself as one. I'm just a psychic medium, paranormal investigator that grew a connection to a family and saw them getting criticized in the paranormal world.
Would you say that these demons may be the worst you've ever encountered?
Oh, this is unlike anything. I mean, you know, since this case, I've been asked to work on other high-profile cases that are well-known, and I've also been to a lot of haunted, well-known locations. The feeling that is Mr. Syracuse's basement alone is unlike anything I have ever witnessed in my life.
In the basement?
The basement, yeah.
What's
the basement is the worst, and that's where the portal is said to be.
What's it feel like? Can you describe it?
Just imagine the worst day that you've ever had in your life times 10. You go down there, and it's just like this oppressive, horrible, dark energy feeling, and it just hits you. You can't even imagine it.
Looming everywhere. You probably can't wait to get out of the basement.
Oh, the basement's the worst. You know, I went to Pennhurst a few months ago, and I walked in, and I'm like, this is it. Like, I'm so used to the energy at Phil's house now. It's unlike anything.
Now, if they moved, Carissa, if they moved to a different house, do you think the same thing would happen?
I think that he would be followed. I do think that there is something on this land that kind of amps up the activity. I got strong Native American vibes and farm vibes.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that the land is amping up the haunting, but I fully believe that even if he moved, he would still be having issues.
And these horseflies that seem to pop up during these episodes, has it ever been more than one, or have you had like hundreds of flies stuck on the window?
That actually, in the Curse of the Horsefly Chronicles, we talk about this lady that owned a store. She had scheduled us for a book signing for the first book, and, you know, she was really excited for it. You know, she's like, I really like the message you guys are getting out there and trying to prove the demonic in God. And she's like, I can't wait to have you. You know, little things start happening to this lady. I remember she was calling me every day, saying these weird things were happening to her. And it was kind of ringing true to what had happened to me that I wasn't telling people yet. Now, she ended up canceling the book signing. And the reason she ended up canceling it was because she went into her office of her store. Now, in the office of her store, she says that there was about 200 horseflies.
Oh, boy.
She sprayed bug spray and didn't really think anything of it and went back in there expecting to see 200 dead horseflies on the floor. When she came back, there was nothing there.
They were gone.
Yes. And that is when she called us and she canceled the book signing. And she has not spoken to us since.
In the demonic realm, what do horseflies represent? Do you know? I don't know.
It represents a demon, a certain demon. I don't really want to say the name on air, but, you know, and it's also...
Is it a name you can say on the air, or you just don't want to say
it? It's Beelzebub.
Oh.
And it also represents just the negative energy, you know?
You're not supposed to say that name, are you? Doesn't that conjure him up?
What?
Doesn't that conjure them up when you use their names?
Yeah, I don't really like to be honest with you. I try to stay away from that as much as I can, but that's what that represents.
Hmm. So what is, and we'll find out from Phil, we're going to bring him in shortly. I mean, how can he keep going this way?
You know, it's hard. I don't know how he does it, to be honest. It's a very complex case, and I'm sure he told you about the many different layers and time lapses.
Yeah. Can't you rid this house of this thing?
Me? No. I'm not an exorcist. I'm not a demonologist. To try and push these entities out with white light doesn't work. We've had deliverances of the house. We've had deliverances of Phil. We've had blessings. It just makes it worse, and it amps it up, and there's repercussions to pay.
Probably deep repercussions.
I seem to be a main target whenever I bring in anyone to try and help this family, but that won't stop me from continuing to do what I've been doing. And
how do you know you haven't been attached?
What?
How do you know they haven't attached themselves to you?
I believe that they have at some points. I believe that it's not a constant attachment to me. For some reason, they're more interested in Phil. But there was actually a team that went to Phil's house and then went to mine about 2 weeks after the failed deliverance. And what they found is that they can connect the hauntings between Phil's house and my house. Without a doubt, they can connect the haunting.
Hmm.
Do I personally think that I have a personal attachment? No. I think that they see me as a threat and that they don't necessarily like me around. Can you really blame them? I'm investigating them. Trying to help the family.
Oh, you're an enemy of theirs. So, okay, we're going to bring Phil in a moment here, and we're going to continue talking about their work, the Horsefly Chronicles. Can you imagine going into a house and you see hundreds of horseflies? Ew. I mean, thank God most of you don't have demons following you all over the place or living in your homes. But Phil Syracusis has this. And it's got to be horrible. We'll talk with him and Carissa Fleck more about the Horsefly Chronicles on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast. Of course, Carissa Fleck is still with us, and Phil Syracusis is back with us. And then we'll take calls later on with both of them as we talk about what has happened to Phil. Phil, I was talking with Carissa about this, and we can't get rid of these things yet on you. What are we going to do about this?
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, it's an event where we've tried different things. We tried talking to pagan people, Christianity, ministers. We've hit all different angles, and we poke the stick, and the stick pokes back, and then fights break out, and a lot of bad things happen. So I've decided to take a different look at this and work on it a different way. And the way I want to work on it is to have more teams investigate. I believe strongly that if you could put the puzzle together, you have more ammunition how to remove dark entities. Rather than having someone just say a couple of prayers or shut a portal, that's all good, but that's not working in this case. So through trial and error, I'd rather have all the information through the best people out there in the field and then work with removing it. So that's where I am today. That's where I stand. And for the safety of myself and my family, you know, this is a radio show. When we hang up, it's over for you, but I live it, unfortunately. And when you poke a stick, and dark entities do listen, and they are one step ahead of us. I hate to say that they are, but they are. What that means is that they listen, but they know what we're going to do before we do it. And I'm very careful on the words I select on a radio show so that I don't get tampered with in the middle of the night or something happens to my wife or one of the kids.
Are you scared?
Of course. No doubt. Of course I'm scared. But you can't show fear. You know, again, going back to being 47 years old, I mean, if there was the mission to take me out years ago, I wouldn't be here today.
That's true.
On the radio. I wouldn't be talking about this and sharing my story with people. So fear is the ultimate game for any dark entity to bring into a person's life. If a demon can ruin a person's life and take away their love and their happiness and their emotion and keep that person going, they won. So if a person could fight back in the best way and still try to live a life, then we are combating. But we just don't know the magnitude of what we're dealing with. When Carissa talks about waking up with hoof prints and the horse flies, let me tell you straight out. I'm a person that, again, it's hard to believe a lot of this stuff. It really is. Unless you see it, you're not going to believe it. When I had that lady cancel on that book signing that was huge because there was going to be a zombie walk, promoting The Walking Dead, I was disappointed.
Of course.
I went to her shop. She wouldn't look at me straight in the eye because she said, you're followed by evil. I did not understand to the realm of what she was talking about. So as time goes on, and I found more people being affected by this case, and the stories that come back to me, I try to dismiss a lot of it. When I say, Phil, when I talk about the Horsefly Chronicles or try to get you help, there's something in my house. Whether it's in Staten Island or Brooklyn or Jersey, I live out in Pennsylvania, the stories come back to me. I try to dismiss them, but then I'm like, is it everybody going nuts? Is everybody crazy? Or is this really like demonic entity saying, stay away from this guy. If you're going to try to remove it, we're coming after you. And that's where the feeling I'm getting is like they're intimidating people. Like if you're going to try to help this guy, we're coming after you first.
Is she right, the bookkeeper? Was she right about the fact that they are all over you, these demons?
Some people say there's so many demons in the basement they can't count them all. I don't know if I believe that. Some people say there's like seven demons here. That's more realistic. I don't see them. You see, if you came into my basement, this is what you would see. You would see dark shadows fly by so fast you think it's the bulbs. You think it's your eyes. And then if you stay in the basement long enough, your energy starts to get drawn. You lose your energy. That's what
happens.
That's what they do. They feed off of our energy. And to prove that theory of how that works, when these paranormal teams come to the home with their equipment, you know what they say after about 20 minutes? The batteries are dead on the camcorder.
Yeah, just sucks it right out.
Yeah, and they're like, this is impossible because they're new batteries. So these entities draw the energy so that they can communicate with us, but sometimes not in a friendly way.
Let's bring Carissa back in here. And Carissa, let me ask you, as an investigator, have you ever felt like you just wanted to get out of that house and get away?
Yes, of course. I mean, you can't, especially living in this case, it's so extreme. You know, there was many times where I felt personally my life might have been in danger when I was living here. And I always felt like I was a main target since day one. The only thing that kept me going was a strong faith in God and my love and connection for this entire family and wanting to help them. But, I mean, You know, I'll even go over there sometimes now, like once a week at least, and I'll be downstairs in the basement playing Xbox with the kids, with one of the kids or something. I just feel like I not want it down there and just get out.
Would you ever sleep in the basement?
I have, yes.
Oh boy. Now, I assume,
I
Phil,
don't know if I would do it now. After the deliverance, things have gotten a lot worse. I would not sleep down here by myself now, but I have slept down here previously to the deliverance.
Is it a finished basement, Phil?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm trying to picture it.
It's a finished basement. The home was built in 96, so it's a beautiful home.
And it's a new house, yeah.
Yeah, it's not the home. And, I just keep stressing that because everywhere I lived, there's been occurrences. It just seems like this house is their stronghold. And I want to talk about that. We found this house in 2010 on the internet through a real estate agency, and over the pool table was a big circle, like a big, big orb. And I said to my wife, this is the house we're going to get. So when we called the real estate, they said, no, unfortunately, the house is under contract. So we looked around at other homes, and months went on. And then my wife, one day, seen this home on the internet again. She says, well, I think it's off contract. And she called up, and sure enough, we came to the home with the real estate person. When we did a walkthrough just to see the house, we're in the backyard, a gust of wind came, and I felt like this is our home. And sure enough, here we are 5 years later living in it. And I believe that as much as I've been followed my entire life, that this is where they want to be, these entities. This is where
they're content
stronger.
They like this place.
They like it. Why, I don't know. Some people say that there's a vortex here, which is separate than a portal. I'm not going to tell you I see portals or vortexes because I don't. But people with abilities and with their equipment are detecting that these such things do exist in this home. So I find that interesting. And the fact that the basement, anybody who does not believe and you're an investigator, my door's open. You can communicate with me and come here and see for yourself what we're talking about. Not that you're going to get beat up by an entity, but don't provoke it, but you will see the shadows, and you will feel the oppression, mm-hmm. and you will hear whispers that come from nowhere.
Are you convinced these are demonic as opposed to mischievous?
These are demonic. However, I think there's some kind of connection between aliens and demons. I really believe that. I don't read books on this. I don't study it. I'm only talking about experiences that... A time lapse to me, and my encounter in 2007, and what's happening now, it would be too much of an amazing story for every little thing to happen under one person's roof. So somehow there's a connection with the both. That's what I believe.
How about you, Carissa?
I think the same thing.
You do.
I agree 100% with Phil. I also think there's some human spirits here that the dark entities have trapped, if that makes sense at all. They're like soul collectors, and there's humans here, there's demonic, and there's definitely an alien tie, and I can say that without a doubt. I fully believe that.
What can you do to help rid this place of these spirits, or whatever they may be, Carissa?
Like I said before, I'm not a demonologist. I'm not an expert.
No, but can you bring in the pros to do this?
We have. There's been plenty of recognized people in this field. And, you know,
it's not working.
Unfortunately, it hasn't worked. And like Phil said, what we're doing is we're trying to document this case with a scientific backing. And the reason we're doing that is because we're not the only people that this has not worked for. And we're hoping that the research we're doing will one day help other families in need or other people in need that are going through this and suffering violence. That's why we're so forthcoming with this as well.
These must be strong demons if you can't get rid of them.
They are. We're dealing with very high level, and it's many different elements. And it's just about putting the pieces to the puzzle together, so hopefully one day we can help ourselves and other people.
And, of course, you know, Phil, if you ever tried to sell the house, you got to disclose it's haunted.
Yeah. Yeah, I wasn't planning on selling it for the simple reason that I feel like where I go, they go. And what's that going to do for me? You know, what we're dealing with here, you know, unfortunately, it's a world where we got to be careful with the words we say on the radio. But we've had big people here.
Mm-hmm.
that are recognized, that are on TV, that do this for a living, and these things don't leave.
Are they baffled by what's going on there?
There's no complete answer. They can't give a solid answer of what's happening here, because I had a great paranormal team here a month ago. Half the team was in the basement, and the other half was in the backyard. The team in the basement was getting the voices and the shadow people. The people in the backyard that were documenting seen a light anomaly that they can't even, doesn't even make sense to a haunting. It doesn't make any sense, and it's shot away. So I don't even understand it, but you know what? I'm glad. I'm glad that other people are seeing what I'm seeing when they're documenting this.
What a bizarre can say. Go ahead, Carissa.
All the pros and the people that we have brought in, you know, there's no experts in this field, but there are people that have experience in handling situations. They have all been mind blown by this scenario at this house. And they've said the same thing that Phil has said and I've said. This case has many different layers and it's very complex. We're dealing with multiple things.
So how many years have we been talking about, Phil, where these spirits, these demons, have been trailing you?
I would say through adolescence I've been followed. Of course, in adolescence you don't know. You're growing up, you know.
Right.
But what I can explain to the listener is this, George, is that dark energy grows with certain people. Try to picture you're growing taller and you're getting older, and so do these dark entities that are attracted to you through some kind of attractional force of magnetics or whatever it is that's bringing them to us. And they get stronger. And I believe now they're at their strongest point, where when we talk about why we can't get rid of them, because I think that would have had been done 20 years ago. And unfortunately, 20 years later now, they got such a stronghold on myself and the family that they're not leaving, the way I see it. You just can't get rid of them. You know, I've done stupid things. We lit sage last summer and blessed the home.
That doesn't work, does it?
That was a big mistake, very big mistake. The only thing that I did was piss everything off in the house, and everybody started fighting.
And I actually have a video of the light going on and off in one of the children's bedrooms to my voice and answering questions as well.
I've always asked a number of paranormal investigators who've been on the program why you talk about sage, and, you know, they say sprinkle it around, and I'm thinking to myself, that's not going to work. And in your case, Phil, it doesn't work.
It doesn't work. It just provokes. And when you're provoking something you can't see, you're in for a very big surprise, and it's not good. And unfortunately, it turns out to be a massive blowout.
Have you learned how to live with these entities? I mean, peacefully?
To a certain point, okay? And what I mean is this. When we watch these TV shows or haunting on television, one of the things that the families always say is that there's negative energy, fighting, friction, people arguing. That's true.
Yes.
Because these demons feed off of negative energy, right? Like they would feed off of a battery.
They love it.
So have I learned to live with it? We try the best that we can to wake up every day with a smile. We go on our daily routines, but we know that there's certain things we cannot do. And one of them is be very wary of the basement on a Saturday night after like 2 o'clock in the morning. Just stay out of the basement because they're here and they don't want you here. And if you stay in the basement too long, you get sick. In the kitchen, after 1 o'clock in the morning, you're going to see a dark shadow the size of a grapefruit fly by very quickly, and you think it's your eyes. It's these entities, whatever they're doing, I don't know what they're doing. It's just as if they have their own space, and they don't want you there at that time. So we try to stay away from certain areas at certain times, not talk about removal, not talk about priests, because that only turns ugly. They just hit the stick back to us, and then we deal with a lot of things that we really can't deal with anymore. So we try to take it light, but yet document it, because that's all I could do right now, George, is show the world that these things are real. And if there's any takeaway that a listener gets tonight, is that a lot of people don't realize that some of the problems in their life could be from negative spirits or dark entities, and you just don't know it. But when we find the way to put the pieces together, to remove everything, I'll be the first person to let the world know this is how it was done. Up until that point, I'm not going to poke the stick till I have all the answers.
Would you prefer that these entities go away?
Most definitely.
How about you, Carissa?
Of course. I mean, you know, my life has been affected horribly by this case and just being involved in it.
But what
I think at the end of the day, we all want it.
What a great way to study them. Wouldn't that be great? It would be a perfect thing to do, to study them and to learn from them.
Well, you know what's interesting about what you just said? There's a video on YouTube that a guy who was here, a paranormal investigator that's recognized, David Spinks, and it was a live investigation a few Saturdays ago, or whatever it was, it was a Friday. And I got taken over in the home, in the basement, that's called a portal. Something took me over. And what he caught is this energy going through the air, and you see it. So I encourage anybody to see. Dave's going to put another clip out there eventually to slow it down, to show people in slow motion.
That'd be good.
What you're seeing, I got taken over, but then you see this thing in the room. It looks like, you know, you see lightning in the sky?
Mm-hmm.
Picture it's a foot long, and it travels through the air. That's what we caught on video, on live stream. It's amazing, and I'm proud of that was caught, because it shows me, to show the world, look at what you're seeing. Try to debunk it. Try it. Try to dismiss what we're saying. You can't. These are things that cannot be explained.
Have you got to a point now, Phil, that you just feel as if there's nothing you can do to get rid of them?
Sometimes I feel like there's no, just live with it and be done with it. Sometimes it makes you feel like you have an empowerment of darkness over other people. When I talked about doing dark rituals in the 90s, it makes you feel like you're above and with darkness. And you're able to utilize that dark energy. Like people talk about remote viewing or rituals to conflict harm against others. The other side of me wants to remove it. But, you know, if you ask me today, am I separated by both good and evil? I am. I'm separated. I'm separated because one part of me knows the love and the light, and the other part of me feels complete darkness. And the other, it's just afraid to try to remove anything at this point, because it can retaliate.
I mean,
and it does.
You sound like to me, Phil, that you have fought back from this that has been affecting you since you were a little baby.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, there's pictures out there. You know, I can't prove everything to everybody because the world of Photoshop and make-believe, but the only thing I could do is bring the best knowledge and the best teams with credibility to my home and prove what I'm dealing with.
And let them do it. Exactly. Well, first of all, the name of the book is The Horsefly Chronicles, and the website, just like the name, thehorsflychronicles.com, linked up for you at coasttocoastam.com. When we come back, as many of you are calling already, we'll take phone calls about this incredible story. These demons that seem to be following Phil all over the place. And then later on tonight, open lines.